Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Vihari Gopi Jana Balava Giribara Dari Gopi Jana Balava Giribara Dari Yashodanandana Gajajanandana Yashodanandana Gajajanandana Chamuna Kira Vanashari Chamana Tira Vanshari Jai Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishupad Paramahansa Paripajaka Chaya Stuta Sada Shri Shimad Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Jai Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirayet. Nashta Presha Padreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavatutama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. And also, we're reading from some of the remembrances of Srila Prabhupada. We will connect the two together today in honor of Janamashtami and Vyasa Puja of this year in Alachua, Florida. So this is verse 16 from the Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhakta. Oh, you know it. Oh, it's up there. Oh, it's up here. Okay. Okay, no problem. I was surprised. Bhaktanam abhayankara. Aviveshang shabhagena. Mana anakadum tuve. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. So as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul of all living entities, and who vanquishes all fear of his devotees, enter the mind of Vasudeva in full opulence. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Vishvatma refers to one who is situated in everyone's heart, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati. Another meaning of Vishvatma is the only lovable object for everyone. Because of forgetfulness of this object, people are suffering in this material world. But if one fortunately revives his own old consciousness of loving Krishna and connects with Vishvatma, one becomes perfect. The Lord is described in the third canto as follows. Paravaresha maram shayukta hijopijato bhagavan. Although unborn, the Lord, the master of everything, appears like a born child by entering the mind of a devotee. The Lord is already there within the mind, and consequently it's not astonishing for him to appear as if born from a devotee's body. The word avivesha signifies that the Lord appeared within the mind of Vasudeva. There is no need for discharge of semen. That is the opinion of Shripad Sridhar Swami and Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The Vaishnava Toshini Sri Sanatana Goswami says that consciousness was awakened within the mind of Vasudeva. Sri Viragavacharya also says Vasudeva was one of the demigods, and within his mind the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as an awakening of consciousness. Mukam karoti vachalam bhangam langayate girim yakipantamham bande shi guru indinatavinam om agyana tirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshumiditam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So I just speak a little bit about this purport of Srila Prabhupada. It's about the appearance of Krishna in the heart of the devotee. So we have a Janmashtami where Krishna has appeared, we celebrate. But the real celebration will come when Krishna appears in our heart. And so this is what we're going to discuss today, is the appearance of Krishna in the mind of the devotee and in the heart of the devotee, and what it means. So Prabhupada says here that Krishna is already within our mind. That would be nice if Krishna were already within our... Of course, he's in our heart, and Prabhupada often equates mind and heart together. And so, therefore, he is already in our mind. But the thing is, we're not tuned in. That's the problem. We're not tuned in to Krishna in our mind and Krishna in our heart. And so we need to tune in. So here again, also at the end, it says that when Krishna appeared in the heart of Vasudeva, how did he appear? How did he actually feel? What was he feeling, and how was he experiencing this appearance of Krishna? It was an awakening of consciousness. So what it means is we have to wake up. As Lord Chaitanya said, jeev jago, Gaura Chandra Bole. He's calling us, please wake up. Now, we may think that we're already awake, but actually, of course, we took the first step. We came to Krishna consciousness, and we're awake in that sense. But every day we need to wake up to the fact of how Krishna is here with us and how he's in our heart. So, of course, in order for Krishna to come in our heart, we have to remove the anarthas. The anarthas have to be removed. So right now we have a lot of other things in our heart besides Krishna. And this is, it's not astonishing, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that there are many demons that Krishna came to kill in his Vrindavan Leela, and each one of those demons represents an anartha. So we need to be aware of these anarthas in our heart and try to work to get them out. So one way that I found to do that is that I read Krishna Leela at night, which Prabhupada, we used to do when Prabhupada was here. I remember when I went to India in Juhu, Bombay, we were there, we didn't have electricity, there was candlelight, and it was, when we first arrived, it was very austere conditions, and we were in a hut, which was indescribable, and we were having our milk, prasadam, and hearing Krishna book, and we had, all the insects were going in our milk. So we had to be very careful to take out all the incense so we'd have vegetarian milk to drink for at night. But it was continuing. The tradition of Krishna book reading was continuing. So when we, what I would do is I would read Krishna book at night. I would choose the anartha I would want to overcome and read that particular pastime. And then in the morning before chanting japa, I would pray to Krishna to please remove that demon from my heart. And it did have results, actually. And I was working on Kaliya for 1 year because it's not easy to get rid of these anarthas. So one night I had a dream where Krishna appeared in my heart, and he was killing Kaliya, actually. And there was a whole festival happening, and it was that was the celebration that Kaliya was being removed from the heart. So this is, we need to do this, remove these anarthas from our heart. So let us hear more about the appearance of Krishna in the heart of Vasudeva, verse 17. Sabibrat parusham tama prajamano yataravi darasado tidur tarsho bhutanam sambhavaha. While carrying the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart, Vasudeva bore the Lord's transcendentally illuminating effulgence, and thus he became as bright as the sun. He was therefore very difficult to see or approach through sensory perception. Indeed, he was unapproachable and unperceivable, even for such formidable men as Kamsa, not only for Kamsa, but for all living entities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Dhamma is significant. Dhamma refers to the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. Beginning Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Tamna swena sadanirasta kuhakam satyam param timahi. In the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no influence of material energy. Tamna swena sadanirasta kuhakam. Any place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, by his name, form, qualities, or paraphernalia, immediately becomes a dham. For example, we speak of Vrindavan Dham, Dwarka Dham, Mathura Dham, because in these places, the name, fame, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Godhead are always present. Similarly, if one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do something, the core of his heart becomes a Dham, and thus he becomes so extraordinarily powerful, not only his enemies, but also people in general are astonished to observe his activities. Because he's unapproachable, his enemies are simply struck with wonder, as explained here by the word Dhirasado Tidur Darsha. So when you think of this, who is Prabhupada talking about here, that you become exceptionally powerful if Krishna comes in your heart? I think he's talking about himself, actually, that he became so powerful that people just couldn't approach him. He was unapproachable by his enemies. He was very protected by Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada did have the Dham in his heart, and he did have Krishna in his heart, and that's why he could bring the Dham everywhere, like here in Alachua, Florida, and he brought it all over the world so that we could have it. He was carrying Vrindavan Dham within his heart. So this is how we can also, we should aspire for this actually, that the day will come when we will see Krishna in our heart. Of course, how to do that? Basically by chanting the holy name, everything is revealed and the Dham will come. But it's nice to remember these things since Jamashtami is coming up. So I'll read verse 18. Tato jagan mangalam achyutam sham samahitam shurasutena devi dadara sarvatmakam atmabhutam kashtayatanandakaram anashta. Thereafter, accompanied by plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudeva, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness for everyone, the cause of all causes within the core of her heart, just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon. So I'll just read a little bit here, I think just the first paragraph. As indicated here by the word Manastha, the Supreme Personality of God who is transferred from the core of Vasudeva's mind or heart to the core of the heart of Devaki. We should note carefully, the Lord is transferred to Devaki, not by the ordinary way for a human being, but by Diksha, initiation. Thus the importance of initiation is mentioned here. Unless one is initiated by the right person who always carries within his heart Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot acquire the power to carry the Supreme Godhead within the core of his heart. So let's see. Okay, I think I'll stop there on this purport. It's quite interesting. I didn't know, I just thought of it now when I was reading this, that the husband can initiate the wife. And that's interesting. Vasudeva initiated his wife by giving Krishna in her heart. That was quite interesting to me. That just struck me right now. So one thing that I understood from reading this purport in this verse was that it is necessary to have association with a pure devotee in order to get Krishna. And this is the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotional service. And it's described that the super soul is in the heart of everyone. But how many of you can actually see that super soul? Or contact. Of course, we can contact the super soul by chanting Hare Krishna. And when we chant Hare Krishna, then we contact the reservoir of all intelligence, and that is the super soul. But actually, how is that super soul revealed to us? That is the question. We'd like to see the super soul. My son, when he was, I think, 14 or 15 years old, he said to me, you know, if I could just see, talk to the super soul in my heart, then I would never be bored again. Yes, he had a problem with boredom at that age. So I said, yes, you can. You can actually see him, but you have to chant Hare Krishna, and then you can actually, he will be revealed to you. You may not see him. It may not be the first thing that you do is see him face to face. You may hear him. You may hear what he's saying to you first. If you chant attentively the Hare Krishna mantra, then you can hear the answer. You connect on the phone, and then you get the answer. So that's why we chant the holy name. Not why, of course, we want to contact super soul. We want to connect with Krishna. And if we connect with Krishna, then the Dham and Krishna can come into our heart. So there's a verse in the first canto that says, super soul is just like fire, the dormant fire in wood. We have a lot of wood here, and if the fire were to come out, we would not appreciate it. But there is a lot of wood, and I have lectured in wooden houses also, so it would be quite difficult if the fire were to become manifest out of the wood. This table would be gone, the Vyasa-san and everything. But no, the fire stays there, and we're grateful for that. So, but super soul is in everyone's heart, and how to make the super soul come out? What is the match that will reveal the super soul? And that is the association of the devotees, the pure devotees, who have Krishna in their heart, and they can, the divine grace, they can reveal Krishna in your heart by their words. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that we can, just by hearing, just by chanting, just by worshipping the deity, we can have Krishna revealed to us. So I would just like to read a little bit about Srila Prabhupada, I would like to read about Prabhupada celebrating Janmashtami throughout the years, because we're celebrating Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja, and Mukhya told me to bring Prabhupada and Krishna together in my presentation, so I'm going to try and do that. So we've heard a lot about Krishna, how he appeared, and now we'll hear about Prabhupada. Who knows where Prabhupada's first Janmashtami out of India was? Yes? Jaladutta boat, yes, yes. He left just before Janmashtami, and of course hardly anyone was there to see him off. And when he was on the boat, he was writing, "Today the ship is plying very smoothly. I feel better today, but I'm feeling separation from Sri Vrindavan and my Lord Sri Govinda Gopinath Radhadamodar. My only solace is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which I'm tasting the nectarine of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. I've left Bharatabhumi just to execute the order of Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in pursuance of Lord Chaitanya's order. I have no qualification, but I've taken up the risk just to carry out the order of His divine grace. I depend fully on their mercy so far away from Vrindavan." So then he got a bit sick after that. And then on the 19th, the captain took him out of the boat to Colombo. He went ashore. And then Janmashtami came on the 20th, the day after he got off the boat. And he took the opportunity to speak to the crew about the philosophy of Krishna. And he distributed prasadam, he had cooked himself, and then he observed his birthday without ceremony at the sea on the Jaladutta. And then right after that, he got sick, and he got his heart attacks right after that Janmashtami. And what would you think? I mean, here you are going to preach, and then you get two heart attacks. I mean, I would say, okay, well, I guess it's a sign from Krishna, I should just forget about this preaching. But no, Prabhupada, he got a dream. He had a dream of Krishna rowing his boat, and Krishna told him, do not fear. So where was his second Janmashtami in 1966? Who knows where that was? New York, right. And what was happening, he had all of these devotees, and they were kind of a motley crew also, like the crew on the Jaladutta. They were also a crew of hippies and whatever, who had assembled there, and there were special rules. They were told, now, you can't eat for a whole day. And so they were thinking, well, what are we going to do the whole day if we can't eat? You know, I mean, that's the main thing, you know. We're coming here, of course, to eat the prasadam. So Prabhupada also said, tomorrow we will have initiations also. And initiation means the spiritual master accepts the student and agrees to take charge, and the student accepts the spiritual master and agrees to worship him as God. So if you've read that, then they all got confused, and then Prabhupada clarified it, that I'm not God, but I'm the servant of God. So here is from, I think this is from Satsarupa Maharaj. His request seemed like a very difficult proposal. Some of us expressed doubt we could do it. So Swamiji said, if you get hungry or weak in the afternoon, you can take some fruit from our refrigerator. When he said that, it gave us hope. It seemed almost impossible a living being could live without food a whole day. He wanted us to try for it, and yet it was not such a hard and fast rule that we had to do it or die. As some of us who are getting old also sometimes feel like it's very impossible to do. Fasting was one problem, and another problem was what to do all day, how to control the mind. When Prabhupada was reading from us, then we felt okay, but if he left us alone, our consciousness and conversation dropped way down. We began to complain, I don't think I can do this. How does he expect us to stay like this the whole day? This is like being in prison, you can't even leave the temple. So this was the first Janmashtami in New York, and what they were feeling. Even while Prabhupada was present, one of the disciples, who was later to be initiated, said, Swamiji, I'm sorry, I have to leave, I have to go home and feed my cats. Swamiji said, no, don't do that, stay here, you can take care of them later. But she said, no, I'm sorry, I have to go and take care of them. So this was Prabhupada and his first disciples. The rest of us reluctantly surrendered and stayed there for a whole day, which very slowly turned into an afternoon and night. We sat against the wall drowsily and weakly trying to chant on our new red beads. So they were also not only trying to chant, they were stringing their beads, and I also had to do that. For Prabhupada in the old days, you had to make your own beads because we had no beads. So we got these big round wooden beads. I didn't bring them with me. I have my beads still. And you put half of the string, you'd tie it to somewhere, like they were tying it to the radiator, they said. And then you would put one bead on and chant the whole mantra and then make a knot. And then you would put another bead on and chant the mantra and make a double knot. And that's how you would string your beads. And then you would mail them off to, like for me, I had to mail them to Prabhupada, and then he would chant on them. And he was in India, he got them somehow or other. He chanted on them, he sent me a letter and sent them back to me, my beads. So that was the process. So whole day they were stringing their beads, and they felt like, you do feel like it's something, you're really doing some devotional service here. So the bead stringing, chanting, reading, and dozing went on until 11 at night when everyone was invited up to his room. And then Prabhupada gave them prasad. He told stories about Krishna. And then he spoke of the necessity of purification by initiation. It's not enough merely to chant holy words. One must be pure inside and out. Chanting impurity brings spiritual advancement. Living entity becomes impure because he wants to enjoy material pleasure. But the impure can become pure by following Krishna, by doing all works for Krishna. Beginners in Krishna consciousness have a tendency to relax their efforts in a short time. But to advance spiritually, you must resist this temptation and continually increase your efforts and devotion. Not only beginners have this tendency, but old-timers also. But sometimes you feel like, okay, it's time to retire now, but no. No one was asked to shave his head or cut his hair or change his dress. No one offered Prabhupada Guru Dakshina. Hardly anyone even relieved of him of his chores. So Prabhupada had to do most of the cooking and other preparations for the initiation. He didn't force anything. He didn't tell them. They knew somehow about the four rules, but they didn't know they were going to have to follow them after initiation. He didn't tell them. So one of the devotees asked the question, do we have to actually follow these rules after we get initiated? And Prabhupada's reply was, I'm very glad you're finally asking me that. So it was, you can imagine the first initiation, and some of them got scared and didn't come, and of course one of them went to feed her cat. And then of course they had this initiation, all the windows were closed, and there was heavy smoke as soon as they put the bananas in the fire. But Prabhupada said, no, this kind of smoke does not disturb. Other smoke does, of course. But so, you know, the visitors immediately ran out the door. The devotees stayed because they were in the initiation. They had to stay. And then after it was finished, Prabhupada started laughing. He said, there was so much smoke, I thought they might have to call the fire brigade. No, Prabhupada was very funny. So I don't have it for 1967. I don't know where he was in 1967. But in 68, he was in Montreal. And this was a very important time because the three couples were on their way to London to preach. Gurudas and Shamsundar and Malati, Gurudas and Jamuna and Mukunda and Janaki. So they had mailed a lot of invitations. So at least 300 people came, Indians, to that initiation, to that Janmashtami. Prabhupada spoke in the evening before a distracted, talkative audience of Indian families with children. And this is how you do in India. You may speak and everyone's doing their thing and you're speaking and it's kind of like a background music to the to whatever's going on. But everyone does their thing when they come to a temple in India, and Janamashtami especially. It's a lot of people. But Prabhupada really liked it. And after the midnight feasting, as Prabhupada was leaving the temple, he turned to Hansaduta, who had done most of the cooking. And Prabhupada said, these sweet balls were very good. So Hansaduta said, thank you, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, but mine were better. It's Prabhupada and Janamashtami. So then on Vyasa Puja, everyone was speaking, and there was one new boy. And Prabhupada asked him to speak, and the boy stood, and he said, although he didn't know much about Krishna consciousness, he was serving Prabhupada each day by rolling chapatis in the kitchen. He said he loved hearing Prabhupada's take lectures and rolling chapatis, and he was satisfied and happy, simply wanting to go on eternally rolling chapatis and hearing his spiritual master tapes. This simple talk caused Prabhupada to smile, and he thanked the boy for his realization. Then Prabhupada spoke, describing the spiritual master as a transcendental broker. The broker acts only on behalf of his firm, and the customer must deal with the firm through the broker. Approaching Krishna through the spiritual master was like that. And so that was 68, 69, Prabhupada was in Germany, and Janmashtami holiday occurred. He observed Krishna's birthday quietly, not like the last year, only a few half dozen devotees. And they chanted together and fasted. At 11:30, Prabhupada decided to shave his head. So in front of all the devotees, they shaved Prabhupada's head. This is quite unusual. Well, that's what Prabhupada did in that Janmashtami. And at midnight, they went to the temple and they broke their fast. So then in 70, I think he was in L.A., but there's no description. In 71, he was in Tokyo with Burijan Prabhu and Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And he was upset because on Vyasa Puja, they didn't know how to celebrate it. And there was no Pushpanjali. So Prabhupada was upset. He said, where's the pushpa? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj thought pushpa means pushpana rice. So they went and they made pushpana rice for Prabhupada, saying, here's the pushpa. Yeah, here's the flowers. Pushpa means flowers. So that was 71, Prabhupada's Janamashtami. Then in 72, Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan. And I heard the description, but I don't have it with me. If any of you were there, and you were there, would you like to describe? I mean, there was a description how everyone was falling asleep and reading. Oh, the temple was packed. So I'll repeat it. Were you there? Oh, he missed Janmashtami. He missed. You were there. Okay. Hot pepper. Lemon and pepper, okay.
He kept reading and people were, yeah, and in there, but people were not, and he kept reading and reading. People were holding these cups, you know, but they were all holding them, you know, reading, you know, no, I can't write, you know. It's 12 o'clock and I just drank it.
Yeah.
So, but the most memorable time was, of course, the lectures outside up on the...
Right.
You weren't there?
No, I was in India by then. 72, I went to India.
By torchlight, they took Prabhupada up in the evening, you know, and there were...
Torchlight.
Flashlights.
Wow, and flashlights.
And Prabhupada was on his palanquin. It was really transcendental occurrence in all his lectures. Pretty amazing.
Right.
But then, you know, inside the temple, there weren't that many people could fit. Most of us were outside.
Right.
A spill-out type thing, you know.
Okay.
Hundreds of people, and it was raining. And
it was raining. You were outside.
Maybe not that moment, there was a lot of rain that time, and Nar Tamananda was cooking outside. And
wow.
It was a three-day thing, but to remember everything in detail, each what happened, but you could remember, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty historical. Of course, in 70, they had a famous one. And
yeah, I missed.
But Prabhupada wasn't there, the one where...
Oh, yeah, I was there for that.
Four sannyasis.
We won't discuss that.
Can I ask something? You were meditating on these anarthas, but I try to understand that Prabhupada, you know, like you were praying about the anarthas and each demon, but I don't remember where Prabhupada ever mentioned each demon corresponding.
Yeah, he didn't. You're right.
He didn't?
As far as I know. I got it from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I don't remember.
Even in those days, you had it from Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
In which days?
74, 3. You said you were meditating on that in Bombay.
No, no, that was this year. Just recently. Now, somebody in the back has something to say. What is your name? Kripa Sudhi.
I was really eager to hear the Krishna book, but everyone else was falling asleep.
Yeah, okay.
And I think they stopped. It was pretty late. It might have been close to 2 o'clock in the morning. When he noted that all the devotees were going to sleep. But I remember breaking fast at about 3 in the morning with a giant gulab jamun, Narottamananda made.
Did he make?
Gulab jamun.
Oh, no. Gulab jamuns. To break the fast. Oh.
Then the next day they made a big cake for Srila Prabhupada, a gigantic cake.
Right.
And Prabhupada said, distribute. And the devotees finished it off in about 11 seconds. There wasn't one crumb left anywhere.
And I heard Prabhupada didn't get it either.
Yeah, Prabhupada didn't get it.
Prabhupada didn't get his own cake.
And one girl, I was guarding Radha Vrindavan Chandra at the bottom of the hill. It wasn't far away, maybe about a block down.
Right.
But this girl was coming by with a giant plate of cake. So I said, oh, Bhattaji, can I get a little? And she gave me a little crumb of the cake.
Wow, okay, yeah, so that was New Vrindavan. I mean, what I remember somebody telling me is everyone was falling asleep while Prabhupada was reading, and every time they would finish a chapter, they would all say, jai, like they were hoping it was going to finish, you know? But then Prabhupada would say, next chapter. And then it was a really long chapter, Prayers of the Demigods. And then by that time, they were, you know, the dandas were falling down, and Prabhupada said, okay. And they really said jai very loudly, so that was the end of that. I remember also reading Krishna book. It was like you had to do it. Something you had to do is read from morning till night Krishna book on Janamashtami. It was one of those things we had to do. I was in Calcutta temple in 72. Nobody was there. We had about 10 devotees, so we all had to take turns from morning till night. And I had my turn, and it was Ras Lila I had to read. And my only audience was Prabhupada's sister sitting right in front of me. So I was being very dramatic, and she didn't understand a word of English. She only knew Bengali. So I was reading to her, and she started crying, you know, and I was Prabhupada's sister, Pishima. And then when I was in Vrindavan for Nectar of Devotion lectures, Prabhupada said to me, oh, my sister told me you speak Bhagavatam very nicely. And I couldn't remember when I ever spoke Bhagavatam, but to speak of nicely. Then I remembered, I was reading Krishna book, and I was, you know, Krishna left the gopis, and then she started crying, and she doesn't know English, you know, but somehow she got the bhava of the of the Krishna book. And then I took that as a blessing from Srila Prabhupada to speak Bhagavatam, although I never thought of it until after I was speaking Bhagavatam and giving classes in Vrindavan. So that was 72. 73, Prabhupada was in London. And the Indian ambassador attended Janamashtami and introduced Srila Prabhupada, expressing his appreciation of Prabhupada's work. Prabhupada described the advent of Krishna as the key to peace for the troubled material world. Especially in India, he said, we have got so much asset for understanding God. Everything is there, ready-made, but we won't accept. So what is the remedy for such disease? We are searching after peace. But we won't accept anything which is actually giving us peace. This is our disease. So the Krishna conscious movement is trying to awaken the dormant Krishna consciousness in everyone's heart. Otherwise, how could these Europeans and Americans and other countrymen who had never even heard of Krishna 4 or 5 years ago be taking the Krishna consciousness so seriously? Therefore, Krishna consciousness is there in everyone's heart. Isn't that wonderful? The Dham is already there in our heart. It's just covered by so many things. So many anarthas. So, therefore, then Prabhupada recited prayers from Brahma Samhita describing Krishna Loka. He said, but Krishna is also everywhere, and if you're a devotee, then you can catch him. If you want to catch him, he comes forward 10 times more than your desire. So, we can try catching Krishna in our life. We're trying to catch him, actually. Yes. Therefore, we simply have to receive him. So the problem is not catching him. The problem is receiving him when he comes. And that I had that experience that in chanting japa. Usually, you know, I chant very mechanically for 24 years. Then in 1994, I decided to have a a japa reform, my own japa reform. It wasn't so much happening then, these kind of retreats. And then I felt like Krishna was actually coming, and my first reaction was like, oh my God, now what? What do I do? If Krishna is here, what would I do? How do I receive him? And Prabhupada actually, he was saying that when we chant, we should pray, please accept me. And he said, Krishna hears you. And when he comes to you, when you're chanting, Krishna is saying, please accept me. Please accept me. Now, our problem is we don't. We don't accept Krishna when he comes. And that's, and Prabhupada said that also in a lecture, which I can't remember exactly which one, but that when we chant the holy name, oh, not when we're chanting, I just said that, but there's another thing. When we wake up in the morning, we think we have so many problems to solve. He said, but we only have one problem, and that's how to accept Krishna. That's our problem. If you think you have a problem, this is it. This is the main problem, how to accept Krishna. And if you just accept Krishna, then you have no problem. Just like when Prabhupada was here, when we would have no problem. When he was away, when we didn't see him, then we had so many problems. And he would come, he'd say, is everything all right? We look at him, he said, yeah, everything's all right. Because he was face to face with us, and everything was all right. But when he went away, then we found so many problems. So what Prabhupada said about how to catch Krishna is very interesting. He said, this deity worship in the temple means worshiping Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's very kindly accepted to assume a form which you can handle. Therefore, do not think we have installed a marble statue. The rascals will say they are heathens. No, we are worshiping Krishna personally. Krishna has kindly assumed this form because we cannot see the gigantic Krishna or how Krishna is everywhere. Remain 24 hours a day in Krishna's service. This is the purpose of installing the deity. So we accept Krishna as the holy name. We accept Krishna here also as Krishna Balaram Radhisham Gornitai. And if we do accept, then the Dhamma is revealed in our heart. Prabhupada, in other lectures, he would say that if we're doing deity worship, then you're always thinking of Krishna, how he's dressed, how to dress him. If you see a flower, you think, oh, I can give that flower to Krishna. I can put it here or here. If you're a pujari, then you think that way. If you see flowers, you think where to put them on Krishna and Radharani. Whenever you see things, beautiful dresses, beautiful cloth, you think, oh, how would that look on Krishna? Pujari has that vision. So that's what Prabhupada wants us to have whenever we look at the world, to have that vision, how Krishna would look with that, how we could serve Krishna with that. So the Panchanga Bhakti, that helps us to reveal the Dhamma in our heart. So then 74, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan for Janamashtami, very upset because he was expecting to open the temple and nothing was there except perhaps a little bit of the deity place. The temple was just some pillars. And they were telling him, no, Prabhupada, it's going to be ready. And he came there and the reality struck. Reality check. It's not. There's no temple. And Prabhupada had sent out invitations, and so he was very disappointed. 75, I couldn't catch that. You know? Okay, well, what happened? Again, there was no opening, right? Temple was opened in 70. Oh, before that. Okay. So what happened? Do you remember anything from that? Yeah, okay, I know. Opening was on Ram Nomi, yeah. Opening was on Ram Nomi, yeah. So that was good that they got it together by Ram Nomi. And then 76, he was in Hyderabad. There was an opening of the Hyderabad temple. 80,000 people came for that Janamashtami. Of course, that's nothing compared to Bombay now. You get millions, you get people waiting in line for hours to get into the temple. You have millions of people coming for Janamashtami in Bombay now. 80,000 people, despite a rail strike and a road strike, 80,000 people came. And if you have a road strike in India, that means you better stay off the road. Otherwise, you could get in trouble, you know. But these people came anyway. And he met the governor of that Madhya Pradesh. At that time, he advised the trustees of Tirupati Temple how to, you know, be more Krishna conscious and to do their work. And then the last Janmashtami was in London, 1977. He was on his deathbed, and he decided to go to London. And in that condition, not having eaten for 6 months, just laying in Vrindavan. So on Janmashtami day, Prabhupada rode in a rented Rolls Royce to the temple at Bury Place in downtown London to see their lordships, Shishi Radha Landanishwara. Entering the building in a palanquin, Prabhupada came before Radha Landanishwara and slowly removed his sunglasses, his eyes flooding with tears, while around him devotees chanted his name and the names of Radha and Krishna. On the way back to the manor, Tamal Krishna recited to Srila Prabhupada the many pastimes of Prabhupada's preaching days in London. The next day was Vyas Puja, Srila Prabhupada's 82nd birthday. Again, upon waking, he recalled his childhood and how an uncle had called him Nandalal because he was born on the day Nanda Maharaj gave presents to the Brahmanas, the day after Krishna's birthday. Srila Prabhupada went down to the temple, and after a fully exulting kirtan by hundreds of devotees, he accepted, without tasting, a 3-tier, 5-foot-long birthday cake. He noticed the devotees had only used 81 candles, so due to counting age by the Western method. So another candle was added, 82. They count the year that you're in as your year. Like now, if you're 81, that means you started your 82nd year. You're in your 82nd year. So that's how they count in India. You're in your 82nd year. So the next day, Srila Prabhupada's health suddenly became much worse, and he couldn't come down to the temple. This was the first crisis since his coming to England, and suddenly his plans changed. Instead of going on to the United States, as he had planned, he now requested that he be taken back to India. He spoke of Bombay. "If I live a few days more," he said, "let me see the opening of the Bombay temple. We can wait here and then fly to Bombay. I have worked so hard for it. If I see the opening and then die, it will be a very peaceful death. Even if I live, I can come back here." So that was Prabhupada's last Vyas Puja and Janmashtami. But now it's going on since so many years after Prabhupada left. It's still going on. We're still having Janmashtami and Prabhupada's Vyas Puja. And so I would like, it's time to stop. I'm 2 minutes over this little sign here, 8:45. Should we have questions or comments? Okay, we can have, if anybody would like to remember anything more or ask some questions from Srila Prabhupada or questions. But yeah, Pushkar.
In Vrindavan in 67, he went to...
67, yes, you're right. He gave sannyas initiation Kirtananda.
Yeah.
That's right, 67 he was in Vrindavan. Right, I missed 67 and I missed 70. 70, I think he was in L.A., I'm not sure. That was when we were in New Vrindavan. I think he was in L.A. and then he sent 4 sannyasis out. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Any other questions or remembrances or comments or anything? No. Oh, you were in L.A. Okay.
John Mastami wasn't
there. No, I went. I don't know where he was. 71, he was in Japan. Not in LA. Okay, we don't know where I don't know where he was. Yeah. Maybe he was in India. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Agalaishtha Srila Prabhupada.